All right, so welcome everybody to another edition here of the Founding Members Club calls. Brad, I'm going to go ahead and mute you, actually. You can unmute yourself if you want to chat. I just heard some noise in the background. But you're going to be excited today, I have a feeling, because today we're going to go over a really amazing set of topics. Last call we went over value, which was really... cornerstone of what makes you confident as a man. It'll either make you confident or it will make you come across like a needy little douchebag, which is not good, of course. We don't want to be that way. So we went over the different types of value and how to project yourself as being the highest perceived value, which is considered a 10, or what's called cooperative dynamics. And we talked about exactly how to do that and the different steps you can take and how it feels and how to assess other people and how to react to them whenever you realize what level of value they have, to make sure that you're always the sort of leader and the one in control, and also to make sure that other people feel validated as well and feel like they need you and they want you to be around. So today, I'm going to go into something a little bit easier to process. I'm going to go into something that I've compiled through a lot of people. This wasn't just me that helped me compile this list. I had some friends probably about 4 or 5 years ago that were really into studying this with me, and we put together this list of 30 things I'm going to go over in just a minute. And by the way, if you don't have a pen and paper for this call, you definitely are going to want to get something to take notes on, because this is going to be kind of a rapid fire and explanation of a bunch of stuff that that we have never talked about before, and things that I don't talk about very often. So make sure that you're paying very close attention. If you are listening on the web, then you can go ahead and type a question in right there in the little box on the web. If you're listening on a phone, you can just press *2 if you have a question. *2 on your phone will raise your hand and I'll be able to unmute you and chat with you. But if you're on the web and you're listening to a webcast, then, you know, of course, you can go ahead and just type in your question as soon as you get it in your head, and I will be able to answer it as soon as we get to a point where we can take a little break here and take questions. But for today, we're going to go over this list. Like I said, I compiled it with several people, not just me, and I also looked to a lot of the other gurus to figure out what everybody was saying, and put together a list of 30 things that will totally screw up your attraction. These are 30 typical things. These are things that guys do on a day-to-day basis, things that they screw up and an average person screws up, including myself. Remember, I'm just an average guy, and I honestly just came across the system, and that's why I'm now above average, but really I'm the same as everybody else. I was just kind of lost and looking for an answer. And I happen to head in the right direction, which is why a lot of people are asking me about what to do now. But we put together these lists of things that I used to do and that probably each one of you on this call has done before. And they are the 30 don'ts or do nots or screw ups of true alpha behavior. So anytime you do any of these 30 things individually, you're essentially adding a lot of insecurity to everything that you say. So that could mean that when people are listening to you, they think that you're lying. It could mean that they don't trust you. It could also mean that they think you're full of shit just in general. Or they could also think that you are needy and try hard. None of which, pretty much never will you have a response to doing any of these things that's going to be positive or in your favor. So you want to keep these in mind. Like I said, if you don't have a pen and paper yet, this is your last chance to go find a pen and paper to write on to take notes for this, because after this, I'm just going to start rattling them off. If you have any questions about any of them, again, *2 on your phone, or if you're listening online, go ahead and type in your question right there in the little Q&A box, and I will go over it. But besides that, I'm going to probably steal most of the show here by going over these things, though I'm going to check back in and see if anybody has any questions in a bit. So, you're going to write each one of these things down. Again, like I said, there's 30 of them. And each one of these is going to be a huge mistake that if you do it one time, could easily screw up all of your attraction, whether you've built it already or whether you're trying to build it or just hoping that it happens, whatever. It'll screw everything you've done up or everything that you're trying to do up. If you do any of these while you're bantering or joking around or being playful with women, then everything that you do will backfire. So if you've had experience similar to that, then you want to pay attention to all these things I'm about to tell you. Because during this process of naming all these things off, you're going to realize at least 5 or 6 things that you do on a daily basis with every girl you talk to that is ruining your chance of building attraction with her and causing you to be frustrated and basically give up on certain nights. I could see you in person and tell you exactly what those 5 things are, but since I can't see you in person, let's go over all 30 possibilities and we'll kind of cross swords here and see what happens. All right, so the first one, if you're ready for this, the first one is poor vocal tonality. Now, I have been extremely guilty of this in the past, and I'll tell you what that means in just a second here. For me, you probably noticed already that I speak very quickly. And a lot of people have actually told me that. I've done a lot of radio spots, and I used to have a show on Sirius XM Radio. And the first thing they taught me how to do was slow down a little bit. Though sometimes I get excited and I want to talk faster and I just do it and I don't even care. But it's not a very good sort of positive value driven thing to do whenever you're talking to somebody. The faster you talk, the more you are essentially attempting to fill space so that nobody talks over you. If you talk very quickly, which this includes me, when I start to speak very quickly, I'm trying to get something out as fast as possible, because I think that someone else is going to say something and then I'm going to lose the floor. So it's a very needy and kind of a scarcity way of thinking. And it comes across whenever you're talking. So talking too quickly, talking too loudly. Now, every once in a while, you'll get a guy who does this. These are usually 7s on the value scale, meaning they're combative. They're trying to get a lot of attention and they're trying to get a lot of focus on them. And so they speak too loud so that everybody has to see them. They also do this so that they know people are judging them instead of having to wonder whether or not people are judging them. So it's kind of like a step up from, you know, trying to wonder constantly whether or not everybody likes you. It's kind of like saying, well, okay, well, I know everyone hates me because I'm a loud asshole, so I don't have to worry about that anymore. I can move on to the next thing, and they can accept that. Another reason why you might way you might have poor vocal tonality is that you may speak too softly, or you may speak monotone with absolutely no emotion, kind of like this. If I'm talking right now, I'm just kind of saying what I need to say, and it's just coming out of my mouth. So it's not really any emotion involved in it. Now, that kills a lot of interest. That'll make people fall asleep. So if you have that sort of monotone tendency with your vocal tonality, then you want to super exaggerate everything that you're saying, because when you do that, you'll probably sound normal. That's really what you think about. And then too softly. This is probably the most common thing, is that guys will speak too softly. Most guys can stand to speak twice as loud as they currently are on a daily basis. I had to raise the volume of my voice about 2-fold whenever I first understood this and learned it. And the reason why is because as I was speaking, I was trying to be polite. I didn't want to stand out as being a jerk. I didn't want anybody to think that I was a jerk. So I tried to play myself down. But the problem is, whenever you try not to be something, you will automatically become the exact opposite of that thing. So if you're focusing on, let's say, you definitely don't want to be the center of attention all the time, because you saw somebody when you were younger that was always the center of attention. So you don't want to do that anymore. So instead, what do? Instead, you try to make yourself small. You try to get quiet. You try to hide. And when you do that, you become a shadow of your former self, not an integration, but a shadow. And that means that as you begin to move forward with your life in general, you're not being true to who you are, and you can't fully stand up and stand behind what you say to women so they don't believe you or trust you fully. When that happens, you lose the interest of a shitload of people. Probably about 80% of the women that you're talking to will be uninterested because of this. So keep that in mind. So if you're on this call now, it's very likely, unless you have an internal frame. So if you know you have an internal frame, and if you don't know about that, you can watch Hacking Attraction Day 1. So you can go in the members area and check that out. Or if you don't have a Hacking Attraction altogether, you want to get that if you can. So if you are speaking too softly, unless you have an internal frame, I want you to increase the volume of your voice by about 100%. Meaning, if I normally talk about like this, at this volume, then I'm going to talk about like this volume on a regular basis. So I actually used to speak that softly this was back when I was in North Carolina. When I was in North Carolina, I started realizing that I was screwing this up and I was speaking too softly. I started speaking louder and I always thought that I was being a jerk until no one said anything to me. And then I was fine. And I also took the ratio of, like, say that I was speaking loudly around 100 people in a row, individually, 100 people, and two people told me to speak softer, but not 80, not the rest of the 98, you know? I would just say, okay, well, I will around you, but not around everybody else. So you gotta get used to people looking at you and turn their head and looking at you and stuff, because people who are attractive, guys who are attractive, and guys who know they're attractive, they get looked at a lot, especially by other guys, because other guys are trying to size them up to see if they're faking it. And you gotta be comfortable with that. So that's number one. I promise I'll go faster on the rest of these. That one was pretty long. But that's number one. Number two is overuse of filler words. Filler words being or like, anything that's kind of an elongated word that you might say instead of pausing and waiting for a second, you want to get rid of. If you say, like, the other day, I was like going to the bar, and like, if you say that a bunch, like is a twitch. It's not an actual word that you're using. And you're using that word because you're afraid someone's going to talk and take away your value. And so if you think that way, coming across like you're afraid someone's going to interrupt you is a very low value way to think. And what happens when you do that is that women automatically think that you're not valuable, and then you lose their attraction. And when I say valuable, I mean value in the sense of what I talked about in the last call. So if you missed that again, make sure that you check out the recording of that. So overuse of filler words. You can use a few of them. You don't want it to be something that you rely on often. Instead of using filler words, what I suggest you do is I suggest you pause and breathe instead of saying or whatever it is. Now, you probably don't even notice that you're doing this. One way to tell that you are is to get a piece of paper and have someone sit across from you and just say, hey, look, during this time that I'm talking to you, I want you to make a mark every time I say or like or anything like that. That is just a placeholder word. And then just have a normal conversation with them. In the first like 5 minutes, you'll be super aware of it. But once they start to talk to you a little bit and get in talk mode with you, they'll start marking it down. And when that happens, you'll see exactly how many times you really say or like, or whatever your trigger words are. And another trigger word is also cursing. A lot of guys do this. They'll put extra emphasis on certain words or certain phrases or sayings or statements, whatever it is, because they feel like what they're saying is not very important. So they try to make it sound like it's really, really important by cursing a lot. For example, you might say, if you thought that you were invaluable, you might go, I just saw the most beautiful fucking girl. Because I know if I say fucking to you, that you're going to pay attention to what I'm talking about. And you're going to go, wow, he must be serious. But it's a really elementary way of doing this. And it doesn't fool women especially women who are attractive. They don't get fooled by that. If you curse a lot, they begin to think that you're just crass. Not that you're attractive or that you're more valuable or that everyone listens to you or that you're bold. That isn't what happens. Instead, you come across like you are afraid and you're cursing a bunch so that you know that people are intimidated around you. That's not true alpha behavior. That is beta behavior. So you want to get rid of that. So just pause instead, get rid of all those filler words and breathe for a second instead. It's okay if you need to sit in silence for a minute, then do it. This is more often than not a sorry, what is it? Extroverts problem, not an introverts problem. Introverts typically don't use as many of these filler words. Extroverts use a lot more. So, but I'm an extrovert and I had to deal with this problem. So that's number two. Number three is returning to a previous conversation in the first break of a current conversation. This one's kind of complicated to say, but let me illustrate it, and I think that that'll make a lot more sense when I do that. If we're talking about baseball, and you used to be a professional baseball player before you had an injury in your shoulder, well, you may get very excited because I'm talking about a subject that you know a lot about. You can be an authority on the subject, and you can show your authority by talking about it in a way that seems very authoritative, by saying how things are, what it's like, you know, things like that. But as soon as the topic changes, if you feel like you don't typically get value from people, then when the topic changes, you'll attempt immediately to bring the conversation back to baseball somehow. And this becomes very obvious to everybody else, but not so obvious to you. You think you're getting away with it, but the truth is that you're not actually getting away with it. And everybody notices. So at the first break of a current conversation, you don't ever want to go back to a previous one that if you feel like you have value in that topic. So if you feel like you know a lot about monster trucks, then in the first break of the current conversation, whatever it is, don't take it back to monster trucks. Instead, continue that conversation for a little while. And then if you want to bring it back to monster trucks, you can. But don't try to do it immediately. If you try to do it the first break, you seem super desperate and it's a huge turnoff to women. So don't do that. Number four on this list is being too verbose. That basically means, it could mean two things. It could mean using a lot of words to explain something when you could really say it in very few, but it also means using complicated, unrecognizable words that make you look intelligent that no one really understands. This was a huge eye-opener for me that this is a turnoff to women. Because I always thought that guys who sounded smart, who knew what they were talking about, could attract women. And I always thought that that was what it was. So I would try to get really smart about things and sound really intelligent. And I seemed like a smart ass to a lot of people. And I'm sure I pissed a lot of people off. But at the time, I didn't realize that I was just overcompensating because I didn't want anybody to think that I was dumb. Now, I've also gone the other side of that where I would use too many words to describe something that could be illustrated easily. And I think I probably got made fun of for doing this. Like, I'd be like, oh, that thing that you blah, 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 and I couldn't remember the name of it. And someone would go, do you mean a ladder or something that I just couldn't think of at the time? And it's like, yeah, that's what it is. You know, and they would laugh at me or something. This is probably in middle school or something when I really realized this was going on. So I swung to the opposite end of that spectrum and I started using really complicated, verbose, like really quote unquote impressive college words. And then nobody could understand me. And then I sounded like I was just BSing everything, and I sounded really pretentious. And so everybody else started judging me, until I finally realized how to say stuff that was in an intelligent way and not use too many words, but also not use words that people don't understand, which is one of the reasons why everybody follows me with what I teach, because I can break down really complicated processes into really simple statements and understanding really simple lessons. But when your own conversation, when you're talking to women, you want to make sure that you are thinking about how to get your point across to her, not trying to impress her. If you're trying to impress her with big words or whatever it is, anything you try to do to impress a girl will not work. It will backfire. Always. Unless you're trying to impress your girlfriend that you've been dating for 5 years or your wife who you've been married to forever, you know, then you can try to impress them and they kind of find that, you know, nice actually. But when you're dating a girl, especially during the attraction phase, it comes across as needy and it kills attraction. Number five is poor eye contact, or in this case, we'll call this looking down. Poor eye contact means that you avoid eye contact. Most guys do. If you think you're doing a lot of really good eye contact, it's very likely. I mean, I'm just saying odds are that you're actually not doing very good eye contact. And that you can turn it up and be more sincere while you are having eye contact with people. Meaning you're having a conversation with somebody. I bet it's harder for you to make eye contact while you're having a conversation than it is whenever you're not talking. You're just kind of looking across a bar or a room at somebody. If they meet eyes with you, you get that butterfly feeling. You want to look away, of course. But it's easier for you to hold that eye contact there than it is to look them directly in the eyes while they're talking to you up close. And I encourage you to push yourself, regardless of where you are now, push yourself to the next level where you can hold eye contact for longer and through other situations, through other circumstances. Also, after you make eye contact with somebody, you never want to look down. So let me explain why that is. Whenever you look down, you access what's called your emotional brain. And there's something called eye accessing cues that is basically means that whenever you look in different directions, you access different parts of your brain. And I teach that a lot about that actually in the Tao of Badass and also in the five week body language mastery course. I'm getting a little tongue-tied here. But basically what that means, if you make eye contact with somebody and you look down, it means that you are becoming emotional. Now, as a man, it's okay to become sexually aroused or turned on or want to be powerful when you make eye contact. But what you don't want to be is overcome with emotion. And basically what that does is it shows as if you are submissive, not as if you are dominant or confident or anything like that. So if you're a super good looking guy, not like me, I'm not a super good looking guy. I'm not very good looking at all. But if you are a very, very good looking guy, then looking down can work to your favor with girls who aren't very attractive because they'll see you make eye contact. They'll see you look down. They'll think that you're submissive and they'll think they have a shot with you because otherwise they wouldn't have a shot with you because you would obviously get better looking girls than them. So girls who have low self-esteem will be attracted to a very physically attractive guy who looks down after eye contact. But if you're not that guy, do not look down. You can make eye contact and look any other direction than down. Don't look down. Just look somewhere else. Preferably you look at her and then she looks away. If she looks down, she is showing submission too. And that means that the game is on and it's working exactly how you want it to. So let's go on to six. Six is standing or sitting with your legs too close together. This is a major sign of submission as well. Whenever you stand with your feet really close together, whenever you sit, the same thing, you're trying to take up less space. And you'll probably see a lot of stuff in this list that has to do with taking up less space because that's a major underlying, kind of an undercurrent to a submissive body language. Anytime someone's trying to take up less space, they are showing submissive body language and they're projecting submissive behavior. And of course, if submissive behavior doesn't really attract women very often. Unless you are, like I said, unless you're super, super, super physically attractive and you're attracting women who don't have very high self-esteem. So, and the reason why I say that is because that's actually important to know. Because if you are that guy, I don't want you to think that you can't use this and then do it one day and it works where you look down and then all of a sudden you think that everything I say is bullshit. I don't want that to happen. So I'm telling you now, though I don't think any of those guys are on the call, I'm definitely not that guy personally. So, I'm not sure. There could be some really super good looking guys in this call. If you are one of those guys and you have a lot of girls tell you that you're beautiful or attractive all the time, then you can use this to your advantage, but only use it when you're dealing with girls who have low self-esteem. If you deal with a girl who's confident, it'll backfire. So keep that in mind. So whenever you stand, you want to keep your feet just no closer than just about shoulder width apart. And if you are sitting down, you want to keep your legs out a little wider than your seat is. So don't keep your legs straight out in front of you. Spread them out a little bit and take up more space than you normally need to. Not like a ton. You know, you don't want to spread eagle. But you want to have, if you have your legs right in front of you, sort of in a perfectly perpendicular to each other, then you want to move them out so that they're kind of at like a 40-degree angle or maybe 45-degree angle. At the smallest. Sometimes I'll even go, sometimes I'll even go out to a 90-degree angle with my legs. If I'm really feeling like, you know, comfortable and I have a lot of space, I'll do that. But usually it's somewhere around 45, between 45 and 70 degrees, let's say, with my legs that are open that way. And if you don't know about what degrees are, it's kind of like, you know, if you're kind of keep your legs out a little bit wider than your shoulders are, your knees need to be a little bit wider than your shoulders are. Or around that area whenever you're sitting down. And if you do that, then you will make sure that you're projecting, at least the bottom half of your body will be projecting confidence. But what about the top half? Well, the top half is number seven. And that is another big don't that you want to make sure you avoid is slouching when sitting or standing. Now, this is huge. All of us probably have heard at one point or another that we need to sit up straight, that we need to not slouch. And it usually was coming from, I don't know where it was coming from, probably from one of your parents or something. They were telling you to sit up straight and because they wanted to look good, or they wanted you to look good and make you look civilized or whatever. But the truth is, as you go through the process of getting better and better with women and working on this, you will have to focus on your posture. Posture is huge, huge when it comes to attracting women. So big. And when I discovered this, I was kind of blown away about how much of a difference it made, which is what really led me to discover that body language was one of the major attraction building processes in the first place. It wasn't through what you say, it was what you do with your body. And so I focused a lot on trying to keep my shoulders back and down, which I'll talk about in a bit, and not let my shoulders roll forward and let my head dip down. Whenever you drop your head in any scenario ever, no matter what it is, you are projecting submissive behavior. You never want to drop your head unless you want to project submissive behavior. Sometimes you want to. Sometimes you're in, you know, a group of people. There's one really loud asshole guy. And if you sit up straight and hold your ground, sometimes it'll cause a lot of friction. And that could scare away everybody else. Now, if it's the two of you, then you could sit up straight and deal with that friction and beat him, you know, and go surpass him. But since it's not the two of you, only by yourselves, it's a lot of people. Sometimes you may want to feign submission for a while until you can get alone with this guy and then sort of redo everything that way and shift the roles from you being submissive to him sort of being the submissive place. So if that's the case, then you always want to keep your head up and imagine that you have kind of a cord that is attached to the top of your head that's going straight up into the sky, or if you're inside directly above you in the ceiling. And it goes straight up and it's kind of pulling you up as high as you can possibly be whenever you're standing. That's the place that you should always be whenever you're standing. It should always be, or sitting. It should always be that your head is pulled all the way up and you're not leaning forward at all with your body. If you're leaning forward, again, you're projecting submission. And some guys who are very alpha dudes will actually project submission from time to time. But because when they do that, typically what they'll do is they will not attract a lot of women at that moment. If a woman sees them like that for the first time, they won't attract those women. And B, they will invite a lot more communication from guys, because guys typically get less intimidated and feel like they can talk to this guy whenever he drops his shoulders down. So you never really want to do that, though. You want to be inviting, but you don't want to trade being inviting for showing submissive body language. You can't do that because... you know, when you show submissive body language, you ruin your chances of attraction, so you don't want to do that. Next is fidgeting. I was a huge, huge violator of this rule for most of my life. I remember whenever I was younger, I had a job, and the guy who was my boss at the time talked to my parents, and my parents were like, okay, well, you know, how's he doing? And the only thing he said that was bad was like, oh, he's great. The only thing that bothers me is that he fidgets like crazy and he won't stop. So I would always like mess with stuff or play with my hands and I still kind of do that in a lot of ways. But instead of letting it happen whenever I'm in a situation where I want to create attraction or I want to create value, instead of letting myself kind of go crazy and fidget a bunch, I slow my hand movements down, and that slows my body down. And so it allows me to stop fidgeting so much, and I'm able to sit down and breathe and be in that moment. And that's my personality type, though. If you have a kind of a tight-wound personality type, too, like I do, if you speak quickly, if you're kind of high energy a little bit too much, or maybe just in general, your general state is pretty high energy compared to some other people, then you're probably going to have the same problem. If it's not you, though, then you probably have a different metabolism and a different personality type, and it probably won't matter that much to you. Next is number nine. Number nine is having tight shoulders. This one's kind of interesting because you wouldn't really think that this would be something that would really not attract women. But the truth is that when a woman sees that your shoulders are up high, kind of like you're saying, I don't know, then she thinks that you're not sure about anything. I know that's a very literal translation, but you'll find that as you study body language, most of body language is actually very literal. It's just a literal translation of what you're doing with your body. If your shoulders are up really high, you're trying to protect your neck. And if you're trying to protect your neck, that means that you're threatened and you think someone's going to attack you. If you think someone's going to attack you, it's probably because people do attack you. And that's a really genuine concern of yours. So you don't want to make it seem like people attack you, because if people attack you often, then you probably are submissive and weak. And you don't want to show that. Instead, you want to overcome that. Now, the interesting thing about most of these things that I'm going to talk about, especially the body language things, is that your body language has a very interesting effect on your belief system. You have two things that are true when it comes to body language. One is that if you control the mind, if you lead the mind, your body will follow. That means that if you are controlling the mind of someone else in some kind of way, like you're telling them that they look good tonight or whatever it is, and you cause them to feel good, they will have a physical response to that. Their body will change. You know, if it's a woman, she may have dilated pupils for a second. She may blush. You know, when she blushes, she's literally getting a rush of blood to her face, to the surface of her skin. She may become aroused. You know, she has a physical response to whatever it is that you're doing. And the same happens to you. If you lead your own mind, your body will follow. If you remember to sit up, or you have an association with something that is, have an association with slouching that's a negative, your body will do everything it can to make sure that you constantly focus on improving your posture. Now, the other opposite is also true, though. If you lead the body, the mind will follow. And this is kind of what we're getting on here. If your mind goes out of control and you can't focus on improving yourself, or if you kind of feel over your head or a little overwhelmed, then if you lead your body and you control what you're doing with your body, then your mind will follow, meaning that you will begin to feel more valuable, and you'll begin to feel more confident as a man. I know it sounds kind of crazy, but it's absolutely true. If you try it out, you'll notice this, that as you begin to improve your body language, you also begin to improve your confidence. And one of the reasons why, again, is because people will be giving you a lot better, more positive responses whenever you start using your body language properly. So keep that in mind. So you don't want to keep your shoulders tight. Instead, you want to keep your shoulders back and down. It should almost feel like a tight pull in your neck. Not so tight that it hurts or it's sharp, but that just kind of like a stretch. And if you keep your shoulders down and back, so you're kind of pushing your chest out a little bit, as you're sitting in your chair, as you're standing, whatever you're doing right now, why don't you go ahead and do this? Because you can do it as I'm speaking to you. Just kind of sit up and kind of stick your chest out a little bit, and then bring your shoulders back and down. And then keep your head up as high as you can when you do this. You should feel a little bit of a tense, like your muscles should be tense right around in your stomach, which should be a little strange considering that you shouldn't really be using your stomach in theory in this. But really what you're doing is you're engaging your core muscles, your core ab muscles. And that's bringing your back completely straight and bringing your head up tall. And when you pull your shoulders back and down, it doesn't allow you to lean your head forward and sort of lean your vertebrae forward in your neck. So if you're doing that now, this should be your default. It should feel like this all the time. If you don't do this all the time, you're screwing up. The only reason why I will ever bring my shoulders up or lower my head or anything like that is because I'm purposely trying to create a situation where I am submissive, or I appear to be submissive, in order to get past certain barriers, which it does help. If someone thinks that you're really cocky, giving them the impression that you're submissive will typically make them feel comfortable enough to go out of their way to you know, just feel like they can open up to you because you don't seem so impenetrable as a person. So keep your shoulders back and down always. If you're ever lifting your shoulders up, it needs to be because you're saying, I don't know. And you need to not say, I don't know, very often. You need to just be focusing on keeping your shoulders back and down and really focusing on that as a person, as a man. Number 10. Whew, this is a lot. We're only a third of the way through. I'm going to have to go quickly on the rest of these probably. But Well, first, before I go into number 10, well, you know what, let me go into 10, then I'll see if there are any questions after that and answer any questions after that. Number 10 is something called pecking. This is one of the five things that if I had to say, look at a room full of guys, not talk to any of them, close my eyes and have a room full of 100 dudes, I'd be like, I can already tell you that every single person in this room is already doing one of the following five things, and pecking will be one of them. Pecking means, essentially, that you lean forward to talk to someone with your head, you lean your head down toward them, and then you stand back up again after you're done talking. And then when they say something, you lean your head in close to them so that you can hear. And then whenever they're done, you stand up again. And then when you have to say something, you lean over again, and you look like a chicken, kind of like pecking back and forth always over and over again. And what happens is, what you're projecting when you do this, is that you're not interesting enough to talk to. You're not an interesting person. And you don't think you're interesting, probably because no one else thinks you're interesting either. And because of that, you're going to bridge the gap as much as possible between your mouth and their ear and their mouth and your ear so that you can make sure that they don't have to try very hard to talk to you. Because if they have to try hard to talk to you, they're going to leave. And you know that. So if you think that at all, or if you've ever thought that before in your life, then you want to make sure that you don't peck, that you don't lean forward over and over and over again when you're talking, or lean toward them, whichever direction they are. Instead, you want to lean a direction that's not toward them. It's not completely away from them either. Maybe like perpendicular to where they are. Meaning if you could lean toward them, and then you could lean away from them, and you could draw a line between those two places, leaning toward them in a way, it would be either right or left of that line in that direction, kind of a 90-degree angle to where they are. And you want to lean your head that way, and you want to point at your ear and make them lean in. This is very important. If you're not doing this already, this will automatically increase your ability to attract women. It just overnight will just happen. So pay close attention to that. Do not peck. Don't make sure you focus on that. If you catch yourself doing it, then you're really screwing up big time. So that was the first 10. Brad, why don't I go ahead and unmute you here. There you are. Brad, you there?
Yeah.
Okay. You want to go ahead and read off the question that we have on deck right now. Guys, if you have any other questions, again, if you're on the phone, star 2. And if you're on the web, just type in your question in the Q&A box right there, and we'll get to it in just a bit. But Brad, you want to go ahead and read that question?
It looks like I have to refresh here to get to it. Just 1 second.
Okay.
Okay. This is from Vic. I'm guessing our friend Victor. Do I still give negative body language in a relationship, and how does touch change?
Okay, so in a relationship, your negative body language will only come in the very beginning of your relationship, and it will only be there if you feel like she's doing something that you believe that if she keeps doing it, will ruin the relationship, and that's it. That's all you use it for. It's not something that you use freely in a relationship. You want to make sure that you curb that quite a bit, and that you focus a lot more on trying to cultivate the rapport with her than you do trying to kind of use this negative body language stuff. But touch in a relationship is also very interesting. Whenever you are in a relationship with a girl, you have different moments where she's in different states. If she's in a state of playfulness, you typically are going to be able to jump from playful kind of touch straight to seductive touch if you want. Also, when you're rapport, you can jump from rapport to seductive touch as well, because you've already bridged all those gaps. But if you're in a seductive state and you go back to sort of attraction touch, which is a temporary touch, and if you don't know about that, then you can read up on that. I think you do, but you can read up on that in the Tao of Badass and also in the 5-Week Body Language Mastery course as well. And if you take a step back and go backwards to the process, then she'll feel like she's being punished for something. So you definitely don't want to do that. And you also don't want to give negative body language for, like, you know, in the beginning of every interaction with a girl. You don't wake up and then give her negative body language until you get through rapport and then go to seduction. Once you're in a relationship, all that stuff changes. Instead of it being, you know, the first three stages, which is attraction, rapport, seduction, you're now in the final stage, which is rapport or relationship balance. And relationship balance, your negative body language is only used as a tool whenever absolutely necessary to keep the relationship together, not for anything else. So if she's doing something that's making you upset, that if she keeps doing it will make you want to leave, then I think it's your duty to say something or to give some negative body language. Also, if she's attacking you in any kind of way, you can use negative body language as well. You know, usually verbally attacking you. And then basically anytime you want her to think that you're not invested as much because of what she just did, you can use negative body language. So if you want her, if she does something like insult you in front of a group of people, you can turn away from her a little bit, but I wouldn't do it too much because it's a really, really huge insult to do that in a relationship. Brad, you want to read the next one?
Yes. Sorry, I have to refresh these, get them. Sure. This is from Roger. I'm not sure how to say that name. Maybe Roger. I don't know.
There's an I in there, though. I see his name a lot, and he talks a lot in the members area, too, so I kind of feel silly about not knowing how to say his name.
It looks either French. Yeah, it's probably French. Anywho, can you talk about the concept of leaving a girl wanting more and ways to do this? I read about this. Do you do this with a girlfriend?
I like how we're getting a lot of girlfriend questions all of a sudden. I wonder if everyone's getting girlfriends now because of the stuff that we've been talking about and learning. But, okay, so leaving her wanting more. Well, this is kind of an advanced topic, really, because most guys this doesn't cross their minds. They want to take advantage of as much as they can in the moment because they know that if they don't do that, then it's going to fall apart and they won't get another chance later on. But if you know that you know how to do things, that you're good and you can make everything happen, you make the attraction happen, then you typically want to leave a girl in a place where she is anticipating something. And the reason why you want to do that is because the next time you see her, everything else will get much easier. This is kind of an advanced guy's game here, really, because if you're interested in short game, meaning that you need to like go out and hook up with a chick and get laid and that's all you want, then this isn't going to be very appealing. You have to be willing to take more than one day or, you know, not try to get in her pants as fast as possible. And usually, not trying to get in her pants fast as possible will get you in her pants as fast as possible. That's just kind of how it is. So you have to know that that's what's happening. So if you are interested, so if you say a way of leaving her wanting more, let's just talk about ways you can do this. An example may be you go through attraction, you go through rapport, you get to the beginning of seduction, and instead of going in, you know, you kiss her for a second, and then you pull back and you go, no more for you tonight. You know, let's just hang out. No more kissing for you tonight. And then she'll go crazy trying to get you to keep kissing her, right? And this is what you want to do. You want her to go nuts trying to kiss you. Now she's chasing you like crazy. She's investing in you like crazy, right? So this is one of the ways you leave her wanting more. Now, you don't necessarily want to leave her there. You can actually continue from there. And that will get rid of a lot of the barriers she may have had before that she was thinking about or reservations, because as soon as you start to pull away like that and joke, like you're kind of half smiling in a sly way, then she wants more of you. She wants to continue. Now, of course, you can definitely do this with a girlfriend. I mean, this is like, it's classic seduction here especially with a girlfriend that you've been with for a while, is that you can start putting rules on how much she can kiss you for no reason. Not like, hey, I need to talk to you. You can only kiss me twice today. No, not like that. Not like you're having a serious conversation, but more like you're kind of getting hot and heavy, and then all of a sudden you go, no, be a good girl, you know? Let's see how long you can go without kissing me. And then just kind of stare at her and smile and go in like you're going to kiss and stop, you know? Make her know that you have control and you have the power. And that's kind of the point behind leaving her wanting more, is that she knows that you have more to give her, and she didn't reach the bottom. And that makes her wonder how deep you go, not just as a man, but also how deep the attraction can go. And if she's wondering that, oftentimes she'll wonder in a more grandiose way than you could ever deliver. And then when you see her again, she doesn't try to test that. That's the ironic thing. She just kind of goes, you know, okay, well, that's how he is. He's this guy that she has in her head. And so it really works out in your favor. Yes, you can definitely do it with your girlfriend, though. That's another thing to make note of there. that you had a question for. So, but just make sure that, you know, if you are doing something where you want to leave her wanting more and you're in it, you're not in a relationship, make sure that it's something that, if you're using it as a way to get her to invest. So if you need her to invest a little more, that's how you do it. You don't, you know, if you do get her number, then get her number and just be like, here's my number. Give me a buzz when you get a chance or something. You know, you don't, you say, I got to split. I know we're having a great time, but I got to go. You know, if you leave at the end of whenever, I learned this from The Modern Gentleman. If you go to a party and everyone's having a blast and then you leave and then everyone, the party starts to die down after you leave because you just time it right, then everyone will think, oh man, it was really great while so-and-so was here, you know? But then he left and now we're having a bummer. It's like a bummer. We're not having a very good time. So you want that to have that association where it's like, okay, well, as long as you were there, everyone was having a great time. But as soon as you left, things started to get a little bit not as fun. So that's another way you can use it if you want to split in an environment while the energy is really hot. Not as if the energy is just getting good, but right before you notice it's starting to dwindle down a little bit. It's really hard to leave right then because most guys want to sit around and pick off the injured, like vultures. They're looking for girls who are easy to get in bed or drunk or whatever. You want to leave at that point. You want to say bye to everybody and let them know you're gone because whatever happens after that's not going to be something you want to be associated with. You want to be associated with as a guy that that basically brings the party or brings the value, not a guy who sucks it out or rides on it. Brad, do you want to read the third question here?
Yes. This is actually from Victor. He says, that last Vic wasn't me. LOL.
Oh, okay.
He said, what advice would you give to someone who wants to go into this field?
Well, you know, when you're going into this field, you're going to make sure you wear nice shoes because it's a field. No.
Right.
Make sure that you like springy grass. So if you want to get into the field of teaching for a living, teaching like kind of what I do, there is one major, major, major piece of advice that I'd have to give you. It is a really, really, really rough thing to get into. It's not easy. And you have to, it does definitely force you to be the best version of yourself, though, as a man, which is really why I think a lot of guys get into it. We don't get into it for the money because there's definitely not that much money in it. But you get the opportunity to help guys and you also get held to a really high standard. And that's really the benefit. Everyone looks up to you. So you have to be on your point all the time. You have to live the life, not just talk about it. Otherwise, you get called out and it's embarrassing. So if you want to go into this field, my best advice to you is A, you definitely want to take a boot camp. You have to. You have to get exposed to live coaching. Yeah, whether it's with me or with anybody else, you definitely need to do it. And preferably find a boot camp that is very high quality, something that you have that has a lot of high reviews. I'm not sure off the top of my head. I think Adam Lyons has really great reviews from a lot of his guys. And he's a great coach. And if you can make it to ours, make it to ours. If not, then I would recommend Adam Lyons strongly. He's a really cool guy. But there aren't really that many guys that do great infield coaching. But you need to fork up whatever money you need to fork up in order to do that, first off. Save up and then do it and go for it. Because you'll essentially get exposed to the process while you do that. And the reason why I'm saying that is because the point that you really, really want to hit, my biggest piece of advice would be, make a coach who is already pretty badass and amazing, like your ideal coach. If you could choose one person, even if they're kind of outrageous, like if it was Tony Robbins or something, you know, whoever it is, you find them and stay close to them, essentially. You know, you're following them some way, you try to help them make money or help them develop a business or whatever it is, and just try to basically show that you're invested in doing this for real. And they will be able to coach you. All of my coaches go through boot camp before they become coaches. Every single one of them. I don't even consider anybody who hasn't. And I am very, very, very picky about who I choose. But whenever I do choose them, and Brad, you know this, I don't do much more than say, hey, I chose you. So do what you got to do to get over here. And do what you got to do to make it happen. You know?
Yeah.
It's not much more than that. And if they don't come, then they don't work with me. And they don't become coaches. That's just how it is. So you really have to be willing to drop everything and do whatever it takes in order to make it happen. And that's what I did. You know, I focused a lot on it too. I didn't have anybody to actually teach me. That was the biggest problem. And once I had started finding some mentors, eventually I was able to really, really shine and grow a lot. And that's whenever I really made most of my progress. So
I think that's kind of the stage that separates people too, is the, all right, well, you got to devote your life to it, you know?
Right. Right. Exactly. Yeah. If you're not willing to do that, then, you know, I don't want to, obviously no one wants to talk to you. Victor, I see your note here. It says sign me up. So we'll talk to you about it. If, you know, when we get near you, we'll let you know, and we'll have somebody chat with you a little bit about that and see when you can. So
a good place to start too would be applying for a DAO ambassadorship.
Yes, absolutely. There are a few ways to do that, but you know, just email Brad@thedaobadass.com, and he'll put you in touch with who need to talk to, and we'll get that ball rolling if you want to do that. I extend that offer to anybody who wants to eventually be a coach at this stuff, or who would like to have the skill level of a coach. You know, somebody who's really, really badass, so badass that other people are like, "Well, he's a dating coach. That's how badass he is." You know. So there's kind of a little bit of ego in there, but you know, there's nothing wrong with that. If it is what you want to do, then it's what you want to do. So, I have a couple more questions. Let's pause on those. Victor, go ahead and send that email now, just to get the lines of communication open, Brad@thedaobadass.com. And he'll get you rocking on that. Anybody else who was interested in that, go ahead and do that now. We have a boot camp coming up in Miami, and it's a Black Ops boot camp, which is really exciting. It's a advanced level boot camp. And that'll be next month in May. If it's not near you, then that's fine. But if you can make it out there, please email Brad, and we'll see if we can find a spot for you. We're kind of filling up spots pretty quick with that. And I'm going to teach that boot camp personally, and I'll be doing probably another year of coaching in person. And then after that, I'm only going to be doing one-on-one coaching, which is way expensive. I'm not going to be doing any more boot camps. I'll have other people trained already who I think are badasses, and they'll be doing them. So if you want to learn from me personally, then now's the time to move. But we got a couple more questions, like I said, and I'll get to those in just a bit. So we'll leave that for now, and I'll get back to the numbers, because we do have 2/3 more to go on this. So Brad, I'm going to ask you a question real quick while I drink a sip of water, just so there's not a whole long break in this. But are any of these things that we've gone over so far, on the 10 that we've gone over, are any of them, I don't want to say new, but are any of them kind of setting off light bulbs in your mind? And if so, which ones?
I would say that the one that I hadn't really heard as much about was being too verbose. That was kind of like an interesting one. Something that I've sort of noticed over the years. I always felt like I could feel a tension in myself when I felt like someone was intentionally trying to sound smart, and I typically hang out with really intelligent people. So, I don't know. It makes sense though. Like it's just needy, you know, all of these things are needy, like you said, and, anything that comes off as needy is unattractive. And if you need people to think that you're intelligent, then you are constantly trying to prove that you're intelligent, you know, whereas if you're super smart, you don't really need everybody to know that you just are, you know, that's just who you are. If you're, dominant, then that's just who you are. You don't need to be like aggressively dominant in every situation. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of like the underlying current here that I see, is that all of it's non-needy. And, so a lot of people start thinking about like dominant body language, and they think like, okay, well, I just kind of have to act like a douchebag all the time. And right. That's
or
not really
have
case.
A positive like association with it. Even if it's, I have to act like I'm taking up a lot of space, or I got to be serious, or I got to be straightforward, or I can't be playful, whatever it is, you know?
Yeah.
You know, go ahead. Sorry. I just wanted to interject there.
And, I definitely know that, gosh, once you start actually doing some of these physical things, then it really does start changing your mindset, and the mind and body following each other. I don't know. It's just the most amazing thing that you can really teach, because it gives you all the power, you know. Mm-hmm. You know what the answer is to any any behavior that you want to modify for yourself, if it's easier for you to do the, like, lead the body, then do that. If it's easier for you to lead the mind, then do that. And the other one will catch up, and it all works out.
You know, typically I find people who are having a much easier time leading their body than their minds, because our minds are so, I mean, you know, it's where all of our processes are coming from. So when it comes to a situation, usually it's that your brain checks out and you don't know what to say, or, you know, there's nothing coming to mind. When that happens, you want to control your body for sure. That was a huge realization for me too, man. Okay, so let's continue. We're going to go through 20 more of these, so let's rock it out. Number 11, probably my biggest annoyance that I see. I have guys show up to my boot camps even. They'll pay thousands of dollars sometimes, depending on which kind of boot camp they come to. And they'll be paying all this money, and they'll show up, and they fly from sometimes other, you know, overseas and places like that. It's pretty common for guys to fly over to New York or wherever to meet up and to learn from me. And then they'll show up, and they'll act like they don't need it. They're like, yeah, you know, that's cool. I don't really need this stuff, whatever. But they just, all the activities they did before this leading up to this point shows me that they're very invested in this. They're trying not to seem invested. And that is called acting too cool for school. And essentially that means that you are pretending as if you are a person who has a lot of options. The problem is you're not doing any of the things to prove that. Instead, you're just acting like it, right? So in a bar or something, this would be the guy who stands kind of looking tough, looking around, not really talking too much, drinking his drink, kind of being suave, right? Trying to look suave, or trying to talk to chicks every once in a while, or trying, a girl comes over, he smiles, takes his hand out, trying to like dance with her for a minute, and then gets really needy and she leaves, and then he's standing by himself again. Now, one of the reason why this happens, like I said, is because people try to come across as if they already have all the shit handled. But what they're really doing is they're modeling somebody who does have the shit handled. Problem is, they're modeling the wrong things. They're modeling what they see, which is not really what's going on. That's not what makes a woman attracted. It isn't that a guy walks into a bar, seems really uninterested in everybody else, and then someone walks up and says, "Hey, I noticed you're uninterested in everybody. You must be really awesome." That's not really how it works. Instead, this guy does something ahead of time, and he has so many women around him that he just doesn't care anymore. And that is, and the women who saw him do those things before that are now chasing him. Not the women who saw him not care, right? Not giving a shit as a guy doesn't create much attraction. You have to do stuff to create attraction. And whenever you act a certain way, then you create that attraction and you push things forward. But whenever you pretend like you're that guy and you've already done the work, you can't get there without doing the work ahead of time. You can't just walk into a bar and pretend like the owner. When you can do that. And then eventually, people will find out that you're not the owner, you know, and all your value goes down the toilet. But if you walk in and you befriend the owner immediately, then you're not acting like the owner's friend anymore. You are the owner's friend. And then everybody who sees you talking to this guy will see all of the value that he has and then associate that with you. And then you can go stand in the corner by yourself, turning, facing the wall with your drink, nursing your drink all night, and women will come up to you and try to figure out who you are because they saw that happen earlier. And as girls try to come up and see who you are, other girls will see that, and they'll try to come up and see who you are. All right, so it works that way, but if you don't do any of the work ahead of time, it does not work. It won't. It just backfires. So next, number 12, having positive body language too early. This is essentially whenever you turn to face a girl with your chest before she's earned it and before you have rapport with her or you've qualified her, really. So you want to focus on, instead of just turning and facing her directly, this is one of the major things that I teach in the Tao of Badass, you want to focus on waiting to give her positive body language until you've qualified her. If you don't know how to qualify a girl, again, check out the Tao of Badass and focus on that and figure out how to do it. It's relatively pretty simple. It's really, and we have calls about this too. So you can go back through that founding member calls and find the one that talks a little bit about positive body language or qualifying, which will teach you how to do those different techniques. But basically, you don't want to face her directly with your body, unless, there are certain circumstances in which you can get away with this, right? Like during the daytime, or during any situation in which she's not expecting to be approached by a guy, and in which a situation in which she would be more comfortable being approached by a guy, meaning that if she's not expecting to be approached by a guy in the middle of the night in a public restroom, right? Then you doesn't mean you can use positive body language. But if it's the middle of the daytime and she's walking down the street and she's in her own head and she doesn't have her guard up at all whatsoever, no guard up, and you talk to her, then you can face her directly with your body because at that point you don't need to bypass any barriers because she doesn't have many up. But typically speaking, kind of 9 times out of 10, you're going to be not facing her directly with your body until she earns it, until she finally goes through the qualification process. Now, if you are talking to her and she starts to give you positive body language, she starts to turn and face you a lot, then you can give her a little bit more positive body language, but don't do all of it. Don't just give her everything as soon as she turns around. A lot of guys do this and they screw it up. Instead, you want to slowly, as she talks to you, as she says things that impress you want to give her more positive body language. As she does things to make you happier, or does things to impress with you or flirt with you or whatever, then you give her more positive body language. Not because she gives you positive body language. That's not enough, right? That means that every girl that talks to you're just waiting for the one that will show you interest so you can hook up with her because you're that desperate. So you don't want to come across like that. All right, 13. This one's kind of related. This is 13 is the biggest mistake here is chasing her positive body language. This is whenever a girl turns around away from you and gives you negative body language. You never, ever, ever try to walk around her to get her attention again. Ever. You always just match her negative body language. If she turns away from you in the middle of a conversation, you turn away from her and you keep talking, either to someone else or to her. You can even look over your shoulder and keep talking to her. But if you can, continue to talk to everybody else. Preferably, you'll notice that someone does this whenever they don't notice that you notice, meaning that you're having a conversation, you're looking at somebody else, and then you realize that this girl who's in the group turns away from you and gives you negative body language. Well, at that point, you don't want to look at her and then try to chase her. Instead, you want to turn to face this other person who's away from her a little bit more and kind of box her out for a second. And then open it back up and see if she comes back in. So you want to keep testing that for a little while. If you chasing your positive body language is the last thing you do before you get rejected, almost across the board. If you want to get rejected, then as soon as a girl turns away from you, try to run around to the other side and get her attention, that she'll fucking flip out on you. So don't do that. That's a big mistake. Number 14. This one is something that every guy does on accident, so keep this in mind. And it is rewarding negative or unreceptive behavior with positive body language. That means essentially that you are turning to face a girl with your body whenever she does something negative instead of when she does something positive. You never ever want to do this. If you're waiting to give negative or positive body language to a girl, then you have to wait till she starts to play ball. And keep in mind, if she's testing you, then she's playing ball in a sense. She's kind of going along with you and she really wants to play and be fun and have fun with you. But you can't give her positive body language until she stops trying to compete with you over who's leading. So you never want to reward negative or unreceptive behavior with positive body language. Instead, you want to sort of punish those acts sort of to risk sounding a bit chauvinistic here. You kind of want to punish those acts by giving her negative body language or by not pushing the interaction forward until she changes her behavior. So that's really important. You never want to give a girl who is stuck up or like acts kind of bitchy, you never want to give her more positive body language because when you do that, she hasn't worked for it and she thinks you're worthless and so does everybody else. So don't do that. 15 is being too eager. This is a real one way you can tell that you're doing this is if you turn your head too fast whenever someone calls your name or something. Actually, the guy who taught me about this was a guy named Owen Cook. It's another name that he has is called Tyler Durden. He goes by Tyler Durden a lot. And he runs a company called Real Social Dynamics. And he's a really, really smart guy when it comes to social interaction. And something that he kind of brought to my attention though not personally, I actually heard through a friend of mine before I really knew who he was. And I started changing this myself, my own behavior. I guess he had a problem with it with himself too. But turning your head too quickly when someone says something to you is really a negative thing to do. It'll work against you and it won't attract anybody. Especially it'll turn off really attractive women. So it could be that you're in a group of people. Basically, you turn your head quickly because you are afraid that you're like, oh my god, someone's actually talking to me. If I don't turn my head and pay attention to them immediately, then they're gonna leave, and then I'm not gonna have anybody to talk to, and they're not gonna be any valuable to anybody. So you want to make sure that you're focused on if someone says your name, sometimes you want to wait, count to two, like one, two, and then turn your head, right? Sometimes you want to count to three. It's better to have them going, you know, Brad, if it was you, it's better to have them going, Brad, Brad, hey, Brad, Brad, hey, Brad, you know, and have them trying to get your attention.
Yeah.
And yes. Then to hear, so for them to go, Brad, and you go, yes, yes, what is it? And you seem like you're trying to get their attention. You don't want that to be the case. Now, whenever you have rapport with somebody, this doesn't matter anymore. But if you're in rapport with somebody in public and other people are watching you in rapport, let's say that you're in a bar or something and you're talking to somebody and you have rapport with them already, it's like a friend of yours, and he says your name and you turn around. If you're in public, you may want to wait a little bit longer. If you're in private, you can be as eager as you want because you're already in rapport. So keep that in mind too. 16. This is basically exactly the same thing I just talked about, really. I mean, it's just expanding on a little bit. And that is answering questions too early or quickly. But the part that I didn't talk about is over-explaining yourself or clarifying unnecessarily. Meaning that, it's another thing that I got from Owen Cook. And that basically means that you begin to over-explain yourself on a topic that you have no business over-explaining yourself on. Let's say that it was, I date multiple women, like I'm polyamorous, right? Let's say that was the case. I'm not anymore, but if I was still, let's talk about what I would do. If I was unsure about being polyamorous, then one thing I would do is when someone said, oh, you're polyamorous, I would go, yeah, yeah, but it's not like, you know, the girls don't know each other or anything. They know about each other and they're cool with it and stuff, and we're all happy and they love it and it's great and everyone's very, very happy and I don't have to really worry about it. And I'm not like misogynistic or anything like that. I'm just, you know what I mean? I'm explaining myself unnecessarily in that situation. And whenever you do that, you project massive insecurity. And of course, you project submissive behavior. So instead, you say what's minimal and what you would say if you were totally comfortable with it. And in this case, I might say, oh yeah, yeah, I'm polyamorous. And I've, you know, we have a really good time being polyamorous. All of us. You know, that's it. Period. And if they're like, what do you mean? Then I go, well, do you want to know more about it? And they go, yes. And then I say, okay, well, here's what it means. And I start telling them a little bit more about the situation. But I don't want to answer too quickly, too early. I don't want to cut her off and then try to throw my point in there. And I don't want to clarify or explain myself any more than I absolutely have to. So keep that in mind as well. 17 is something, it's a big term here, so I'll say it a couple times. And you've probably heard about it before. I teach it in the Tao of Badass as well. And it's called polar opposing insecurity compensation, or POIC. And again, I'll say that's polar, as in a polar bear, opposing, as in on the other side, right, against you, insecurity, as in not security, and compensation, which is what you get paid. So polar opposing insecurity compensation basically means that you compensate for your insecurities by going to the exact opposite extreme. A couple of these have kind of touched on this a little bit and kind of dipped into this area, but we all do this. Anytime you say you don't want to be something, you automatically are acting as if you are the other extreme, which is also bad and unattractive. So you want to find a middle ground between the way that you think you need to act and the way that you definitely don't want to be. Now, usually the way to find a middle ground is to accept that you are a little bit of the thing that you don't want to be, and that's okay. So let's say that it's arrogant, which is my huge one for me when I was younger. I don't want to be arrogant, right? I was like, I don't want to be an arrogant asshole. Okay, So I was a total pushover doormat to everybody. And I was super humbled to the point of like not having anything good in my life. So what I did is I said, okay, well, you know what? I am a little bit arrogant at times. And I had to sit there and just accept that first. That took me a while. After I was okay with that, then I was able to look at this situation clearly and go, okay, well, I can be arrogant at times, and I'm typically pretty humble, so I'm somewhere in the middle. And I'm not really arrogant so much as I'm definitely confident in areas that I know I'm good at. Whatever it is, I'm good at it. You know, and if I know I'm good, I'll tell you I think I'm good, and I don't need help in this area. Or I'll tell you that I can help you because I'm better than you at this, whatever it is. If I wasn't able to tell people that, then no one would think that I knew anything about relationships, and then no one would do anything that I had taught them. So I wouldn't be making any kind of an impact in the world. So polar opposing insecurity compensation is a major, major thing that you're going to run into in every area of your life for the rest of your life. You'll always be noticing things that you're screwing up, that you're kind of focusing on a little too much about what you don't want to be or what you don't want to do, and that's causing you to compensate in the other direction. And the way that you notice is that you hear yourself say to someone else or to your own self, you hear yourself say, I don't want to be blank, or I don't want to act like blank. Anytime you say, I don't want to, and then following that as something like being seen as something, then you're screwing this up and you have polar opposing insecurity compensation. So 18 is unnecessary enthusiasm. This is another one of Owen's brilliant contributions to this list, is that when you have unnecessary enthusiasm, essentially means that you're trying to come across as if everything in your life is super exciting. And because it's out of context when you do it, it comes across like you're trying to seem that way. And of course, it comes across as insecurity. Now, one major thing I realized whenever I was really beginning to get better with women is that women could essentially read your mind, and you should just accept that as a man. They can basically understand everything that you're doing. If you're trying to act more enthusiastic than you are, they can pick up on it, and they will pick up on it too. They will. I promise you that. So instead of trying to act something as if you're something that you're not, you just want to cut off the behavior that you used to have that makes you unattractive, and then have what's left and then build upon that as a man. That's really what about being a badass is really all about. So come in with whatever normal level of enthusiasm you have. Don't fake enthusiasm ever. It's really, really obvious to see if you fake it. Next, this is a huge one. This one's so big. And I hear a lot of guys doing this. The more value you have in a situation, the more you'll hear guys do this. And it is qualifying yourself or bragging. And let me explain what that means. Qualify. We used to have a game actually called Qualify. And Qualify was a game that we'd play as soon as we heard somebody bragging about something. And all they wanted was to just tell you that they had done this thing. Then we would say, oh, it's really cool, Qualify. You know, and it would be people that we don't even know, but you know, there'd be a group and maybe there'd be a couple people who knew what was going on. They'd go, oh yeah, I noticed, you know, they'd totally see it. And then we'd keep talking as if I'd never said that. So that's really cool, Qualify. How big was the fish that you caught? You know, and they'd be like, oh, is this big? And they wouldn't even hear the word qualify, you know, and it was kind of a game we play with each other. And if we ever got out of line and we were qualifying ourselves, which is a classic alpha or classic beta behavior, submissive behavior move. But I'll explain what qualifying yourself sounds like in a minute. We would always say qualify, you know, whatever around this person until they stopped doing that thing. Anytime they said that thing, we would say qualify. And the way that qualifying comes out is it sounds like you are trying to talk about something that you did that is impressive. The question is, why are you talking about this thing? Usually, you're talking about something impressive because you want to impress someone, right? That makes sense. That's totally understandable. The problem is, if you are looking for something to impress this person, you're admitting that you are lower value than them. And if you admit that, you are. If you don't admit that, and you don't act as if you are, then no one thinks that you're lower value than them. So basically, until you try to convince people that you're high value, everybody thinks you're high value. But as soon as you start to try to convince people, everyone knows that you're faking it. There's, I think there's a Abraham Lincoln, I think, quotation on this. I might be botching that, who said this, but he said, whoever said this said, it's better to close your mouth and appear a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. And it was that was one of the biggest like lessons that I learned in my life. And as being an extrovert, that was really hard for me to swallow, that there are times in which I need to shut up and not say anything. So do not qualify yourself. Hold back any opportunity you can think of to say something that's impressive. Never do that. Just don't do it as a man. Don't try to impress people as a man. Instead, let other people talk for you. If you keep doing awesome shit and you never talk about it, everybody will begin to talk about you all the time. They'll begin to talk about all the great things you've done. They'll begin to talk about all of the impressive things you've done. They'll begin to bring it up in conversation because you never do it for yourself, right? Now, it's not about being humble. When they do it, you just go, yeah, I did that. And yeah, it was pretty badass. Or I'm pretty good at that. Whatever it is, you know, stand up for it and you know, try not to be a doormat about it or a wet napkin, whatever it is, around it, wet towel. Around this topic, wet blanket, that's what I was thinking. Napkin, towel, blanket. We're getting bigger and bigger.
Like, what the hell are you talking about?
Trying to be a wet vagina around this topic. but essentially, you wanna always keep from qualifying yourself. Never qualify yourself. This was a huge, huge thing that I had to erase from my behavior. You probably have to erase it too. Every guy does this at some point. He does it. And it's usually because you're being a six, or it's because you're being an eight and you're trying to one-up somebody. You never want to do that. And whenever I do say things now that could be considered qualifying, I always try to change the subject as soon as I do it. Like I'll go, oh yeah, I used to, because I haven't had a pretty crazy life so far. I might say, I used to live in a tree for a little while actually. But that was a long time ago. Anyway, tell me a little bit more about you know, where you're from. You know, I try to just bulldoze over it. And if they keep trying to get it out of me, then I'll tell them a little more. But not typically. So never qualify yourself. Number 20, and then we'll take another little break here and take some more questions, is waiting for a girl when she leaves. This is only an attraction. And keep in mind, attraction is the phase that you're in whenever you are, when you just met a girl for the first time. So if you're dating a girl, you want to wait for her if she goes somewhere, of course. Unless it's like, you know, you're on the rocks or something and you think she's like, going off to get attention or whatever. You never want to sit there and wait for her then. If you went through everything properly and she's your girlfriend or you're on a date or you've gone past, you're in rapport or whatever, then you don't want to run off and start another conversation or do whatever that way. But if she leaves and she says, wait right here, I'll be right back, and she goes to the bathroom, don't damn wait right there. You know, do not do that. If you say okay, then wait right there, but you already screwed up by saying okay. Instead, you want to go, oh, I'm just going to be over here, actually, by the bar. Doesn't matter what you say. I'm just going to stand here and talk to this person, or I'll be around here, look for me, right? Make her do something when she comes back. If she wants to eject and sneak away, then you've already screwed it up, right? This is her sneaking away already. You've already screwed it up. Don't try to stay there so that she can find you, because if she can't find you, you know she's going to leave. Don't do that. You know, you want to make it so she has to invest. It's totally counterintuitive. So if she gets up to leave to go somewhere during attraction only, during that phase, you never want to sit there and wait and say nothing. So, all right. So that was the next 10 on the list there. And Brad, let's go ahead and take this next question. I'm not sure how many questions we have. I think just one for now. I'm not really sure.
We have a hand up.
Oh, a hand up too. Okay, hold on. Let me just do this in Laguna Beach. Why don't I go ahead and unmute him first? You there? Hello?
Hello?
Hey, can you hear me?
Hello? Hey, yeah, Josh. What's up?
Hey, who is this?
This is Trent Sebring. I'm actually in San Clemente, a little further down south.
Oh, okay. San Clemente. Cool, man. Trent, how you doing?
So far, so good. Hey, I just realized that I haven't been getting like any of the founding member call emails, or I haven't been getting up to date audios for quite some time.
Uh-huh.
And I was just trying to see if I could get some of that stuff worked out. I know it's a little out of out of the blue
Oh yeah,
here.
yeah, yeah. No worries, man. Well, look, this is rounding up the tail end of our calls, in general for Bounty Members Club. But you should have access to everything in your members area. It's all in there. You have to.
It stops at the banter mastery thing.
Okay. Well, why don't we see if we can figure that out? Maybe it's just an access issue, but we'll get you access to everything we have in there. If the last one hasn't gone
cool
up
deal.
Yet, then we'll do that too. So no worries, man. Thanks for raising that up though, because I definitely want to make sure you have access to it.
Yeah, and thanks for coming, man.
Hopefully you're getting a lot out of this, and that's why you're saying that, not because you're
like,
Yeah.
Well, make sure to send me an email, man.
It's what, brad@dowelbadass.com?
Brad at
the Dow Badass.
If you send a brad@dowelbadass.com, it'll go nowhere, actually. So don't do that.
I can't do that.
Cool. Thanks, Trent. I appreciate it, man.
Yeah, have a good night, and I'll keep listening.
Cool. All right. Trent in the house. Okay. So, Brad, do you want to go ahead and read off the next question here?
Yes. This is from Tony in New York. Any techniques for staying present in conversation? Sometimes my mind tends to drift. Sometimes if I'm on a roll, I realize that I'm doing well and then my mind goes blank. When trying your finger crossing technique, my focus seems to drift away from the conversation.
Okay, good. So here's something that you might need to think about. If you're probably a perceiver and you're probably a lot like me, you're probably an extrovert perceiver actually, if you're doing this. So my advice to you, instead of trying to sit down and remember everything you want to say, is to let go of what you were thinking about saying. Don't worry about it. If the conversation ever gets back to what you wanted to say, then just let it go and trust that you're going to come up with something else to talk about. Don't try to hold on to whatever you had in your head. Now, if you are trying to remember something for real, then, you know, you can cross your fingers and then you can forget about it. The point is to think about it, cross your fingers while you're thinking about it, and then keep talking. And then as soon as you want to come back to it, all you have to do is look at your fingers and you'll remember whatever it was. It's a really crazy anchoring technique that really, really works well. So you can do that, but don't do it while you're in attraction, because you don't need to remember anything in attraction. It sounds like you're talking about attraction here. So you don't need to worry about staying. Well, you want to stay present, but the reason why you're not present is because you're wondering how well you're doing, or you are trying to make sure you don't screw anything up, or you're thinking about what stage you're in and the interaction, things like that. You want to get to the point where you can drift off for a second and come back and not miss anything. So try that a couple times. Try to start by going, asking yourself while you're having a conversation, ask yourself what stage you're in. Try doing this and break it down into small stages, not just attraction, rapport, seduction, relationship balance. Break it down to introduction, which you probably won't have to worry about because it'll already be done before you get there. If you're having a conversation, then maybe demonstrating high value versus qualifying. Light rapport, wide rapport, deep rapport, release, you know, entering seduction, and any kind of transition you may be thinking about as well. You want to figure out what stage you're in while you're in it. And if you do that while you're talking and you can come back to the conversation and not lose your place, that's all you need to learn how to do. Don't worry about anything else. Don't try to keep it there and drift off somewhere else and come back. And again, it's not really that big of a deal. If you're having a hard time focusing, try making eye contact more. And hold the eye contact. You may be focusing on eye contact a little bit much when you do this for the first time, so it may be hard to focus on what they're saying in the beginning. But once you begin to hold eye contact and continue having a conversation, you won't have to worry about anything then. You know, you'll be able to sit there, listen, and talk, and it'll be totally present in the moment. What you're probably doing is you're probably wandering with your eyes, because when you start to think about different stuff, your eye accessing cues begin to tell you away, and then or give you away, rather. And then, of course, people see your eyes going all over the place, and then they wonder what the hell you're thinking about or wondering where you are. So let's continue on. I'm going to go over.
Tony said he's the exact same personality type as you, by the way, Josh.
Oh, dude. Well, I'm sorry and awesome at the same time, because it can be a bitch at times. I thought I might be dealing with an extrovert perceiver, because that sounds like an EP kind of problem. Like, yeah. Doesn't sound very introverted or judgery. So if you guys don't know what I'm talking about.
Introverts don't really have problems listening.
No, not really. They have problems. Typically, they have problems talking. And so do introverts, actually. And especially, particularly if the conversation is not rapport. If it's attraction, then it's even extra of extra boost of a challenge. But again, that can be a fleeting problem. It's not a big deal, so you can get over it. I'll get to the other the rest of these questions here in just a bit. I want to go over the last 10 questions that I have, or 10 points here on this list that I have, and then we'll be done for the day here. We'll be closed out. So, but I'll be able to go over the questions before we end this call. So if you have any questions, now's a good time to go ahead and drop them in the Q&A box there. And if you have a question on the horn here on the phone, you can hit start 2 and raise your hand at any point, and we should be able to see you there. So I'll get to those in just a bit. We have quite a few of them in here, so I'll get to those later. For now, let's go over number 20. Number 20, oh, sorry, 21. I was like, that's the same thing I just said. Damn. Number 21, skipping steps in the map of interaction. This is a big no-no. Unless you know how to do it, which of course you can learn how to do, but typically speaking, you want to follow the rules when it comes to the map of interaction. Just follow the process and it will work. If you don't follow the process, it will not work. So make sure you do that. If you skip steps and you go straight to rapport, let's say, and you skip attraction, you're going to fall in the friend zone. You're going to be pathetic sounding to women. If you skip rapport, you go into seduction straight from attraction, you'll have a ton of resistance when you get there. She won't want to sleep with you. Typically, not always, but typically. If you skip seduction, you never get anywhere. You just become like a, you know, the attraction dies off and you just become a friend. If you skip attraction and rapport and go straight to seduction, you're super creepy. A lot of guys do this. And they'll just kind of get sexual and they won't worry about anything else, and that blows up in their faces. Those are the kind of guys that we see all over girls in bars, but you hardly ever see them leave with a girl unless she's wasted. And the reason why is because they don't get laid, these guys. So don't do that. Okay, so that's skipping steps in that interaction. That's pretty straightforward. So we'll skip, not skip it, but we'll leave it there. We'll skip that stage. 22 is bantering in rapport, or what's also known as breaking rapport. Now, some people teach breaking rapport differently than I do, so let me explain what this means. Bantering in rapport is making a joke after you've already qualified a girl and you're in deep emotional conversation with her. You never want to do this. If I could have every woman in the world write in and specifically give them a list of things that guys do that piss them off, this would be the top two things that guys do that piss girls off, is that they try to joke around whenever a girl's in rapport. And guys who do this are typically afraid of going into rapport because they feel like they have no substance. And so they want to keep joking around. And staying in attraction has gotten them laid in the past, and so they keep trying to do it. It's a terrible waste, in my opinion, and it's a very amateurish thing to do. So you definitely don't want to do that. Okay, number 23 is buying time or attention. This is also known as supplication, which, if you were on the last call, you know, is another way of saying begging for attention or acceptance. So you never want to buy time or attention. You never want to buy something for somebody so that they spend time with you. Particularly in most cases, this would be, I just got a question. Sorry, let me go ahead and answer this before I just had a pattern move because it was, I got a question from Ryan asking what number 19 was. 19 was qualifying yourself or bragging. So that was 19. Again, you guys can hear the recordings of this too. If you miss anything, you can hear the recordings of it. So no worries about on that. So just keep that in mind. Anyway, so we'll continue. We are buying time and attention. So basically, if you're doing, it's all about your intention whenever you do this. If you hold the door for somebody, for a girl, let's say, you sure shit better hold the door for everybody who comes and walks by you. You don't want to just hold the door for hot chicks, because you're doing something so that you get something in return if you do that. And that's trading. That's buying time or attention. Buying attention in this case. And your currency isn't money. Your currency is holding the door, right? Doing something polite. And you're expecting something in return. Women hate this. They hate it. And it's a huge sign of a guy being a pussy. And you don't want to come across like this. So do not do that. Don't ever buy time or attention. Your presence is all that you need. That's the biggest gift you could give her. The biggest present will be your presence. So remember that. It might sound crazy to think about this. Like, you really have to reframe this in your head, that you don't have to do anything or act like anything in order to make a girl want to talk to you. Honestly, You just only thing you have to pretend is that you already believe this. You have to pretend that you're already worth talking to, regardless of whether or not you buy her a drink. You know that she should want to hang out with you because you're awesome. You have to believe that, and that's it. Outside of that, don't believe anything else. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to send her any drinks, nothing like that. Buy her anything, blah blah blah. You don't have to do any of that stuff. I've been broke almost all my life. I grew up in a trailer park. If buying girls shit got them into bed, I would never, ever, I would still be a virgin. Still to this day. That is not how it happens. It doesn't work like that. It's something else. It's value, not money. You can give value in 1,000 different ways. You don't have to give value through money. Money is the weakest form of value, in fact. And a lot of guys don't understand that. 24 is a huge mistake, too. Ignoring their friends in a group. So if you're in a group conversation with a bunch of people, and you see a girl and you are attracted to her and you ignore all of her friends, you are screwing up your FUBAR, dude. There's nothing you can do. I mean, your FUBAR meaning fucked up beyond all recognition or beyond all repair, you know? So you don't, that's what FUBAR means, by the way, just in case anybody was wondering. You don't want to ignore girls in a group, and especially if you're going to walk up and you're going to give a girl positive body language and then everyone else and not talk to them, you know, positive body language to the girl you want and then not talk to anybody else. This is what most guys do. You're not like most guys. You're going to be giving negative body language, but you still have to talk to everybody else in the group. You can't just pick a girl and then go for her like that. It won't work. You'll run into a shitload of problems. So you don't want to do that. Instead, you want to pay attention to everybody in the group as you're talking, and you want to focus on everybody individually, give equal eye contact to everyone, and then tease and joke around with and banter with the girl who you are attracted to. You may be like, you know what? You're trouble. You girls are good, but you're a little trouble, so I'm going to stay away from you for here. I'm going to talk to your friends. And then you joke around, you give a little bit of negative body language, and you go, I'm just kidding, you're cool, as far as I know, but don't you cross me, you know? I'm watching you. And then you keep talking to the group, and that's it. You give her a little bit of flirting, and then you stop, and then you talk to everybody. That way it's kind of known who you're going after, and it's known to her, at least, who you're going after. She feels a little bit special in that respect, so she won't go nuts trying to get your attention. And then once she gets it, usually whenever girls go crazy trying to get your attention, once they get it from you, they don't want it anymore. It's kind of like a cat going crazy over you dangling a little toy or something, and then when you drop it on the ground, they just kind of bat it a couple times and walk away. That's a lot in the same way that women are. If they go crazy wanting your attention because you dangle it over them and then you give it to them, they don't really care anymore. So instead, you have to give it to them and then take it away. Then give it to them and take it away. A whole bunch over and over again. Until finally they move through the different stages of the map of interaction and you're good. Number 25. This is something that a lot of guys do whenever you... a lot of guys who are too verbose do this thing too. And that is condescending on their personality. This is something that I used to do too. I used to kind of have this, I think it's kind of a shitty attitude when it came to women. I would, and not that I was like all about, you know, screwing them and leaving them, not like that. It was the opposite, actually. I was actually very like, you know, oh, I'm intelligent and I'm different than all the guys you know, so you should be trying to talk to me and, you know, this shouldn't be how it is. Well, it's how it is, you know? Yeah, I agree. I wish that it was a lot easier for us to attract women, as easy as it is for women to attract guys, but it's not that easy for them to attract guys. Honestly, they have to do a lot of shit, and we don't see that stuff. I think it's easier still, even considering. I think it's easier for women to attract men than it is for men to attract women. But either way, I'm not gonna condescend on their personality and pretend like I have a ton of girls because I'm intelligent, because that's stupid. Girls aren't attracted to you because you're intelligent. They're not. I promise. I promise they're not attracted to you because of that. They may find that quality attractive in you, but it is not what attracts them to you. Your body language and your nodneediness will always attract them. Your intelligence typically gets in the damn way. And if it isn't getting in the way and you're doing it right, then they just really appreciate that you're smart. That's all. It's a relationship thing. It's not an attraction, like beginning of an interaction attraction thing. So do not condescend on their personality. Instead, I want you to kind of take them as who they are and accept them. Yes, they may be stupid at times while you're talking to them, especially if they're drunk. You may run into some dumb girls, but don't judge them. You know, they're just out trying to have a good time, and you really need to be able to be comfortable with that. If you're constantly thinking, oh, well, this girl is dumb and I need to find a smarter girl, really what you're doing is you're putting false qualifications on yourself and all the women that you want to date. You're saying, I only date intelligent women. Well, that's not true. That's not really true at all, really. It's not that you don't really care about, I mean, you don't want a girl who's dumb as a brick, I'm sure, to be in a relationship with. But if a girl who's super hot walked up to you, I mean, I'm talking like model fucking hot, dressed sexy, like to the nines, walked up to you while you're at a bar and said, hey, I'd really like to suck your dick and then sleep with you tonight if that's possible. Would you honestly go, no, you're not smart enough? No, you wouldn't do that. You'd be like, okay, sounds good to me. You know, let's do that. Let's have a good time and whatever. If you turn that down, you'd be an idiot. And you'd only be doing it on principle, not because you don't want it. Of course you want it. So it's not, it's, don't act like you're judging women based on their intelligence. You're just not doing that, you know, and women can see through it. And what happens is you end up condescending on their personality when you do this. You know, some guys do have a lot of qualifications, but those guys have mastered most of this process already. Once you master the process, you earn the right to have more qualifications than your women. But until then, you'll come across ridiculous if you try to condescend their personality, so you don't want to do that. Number 26, we're getting to the end here, is not touching. This is massive. This is why most guys fall into the friend zone, and it's also why most guys cannot push it from talking in a bar to making out or to having sex. They can't bridge that gap. You want to touch a girl within the first 10 to 30 seconds that you're talking to her for the very first time. You want to touch her in a way that's friendly, like arm around the shoulder for a second, then take your hand off her, pat her on the shoulder for a second, or pat her on the upper back, or, you know, in the middle of conversation, and never just like randomly out of nowhere. You have to be talking while you do this. If you're not talking to her already while you're touching her, then it just seems strange, like you're just trying to cop a feel. So you want to be engaging her in conversation. And at that time, shaking your hand is definitely part of it. When you shake your hand, you can also touch her shoulder and go, nice to meet you. You know, that's a strong kind of dominance process, a dominance move that you can make. So make sure you're touching, though. And the excellent part or a course on this in the 5-week body language mastery course, or it's a module is what it's called. Sorry, I had a brain fart there. But it's called touch, and you can just get in there and you can understand all the different things that I teach about touch. It's about an hour and a half long, and at the end of that, you'll feel like you've just got your BA in kinesthetics. It's pretty badass stuff. I didn't mean BA, but badass. I mean bachelor, but that's okay. either way, it works. So you have to touch. So crucial. Again, this is one of the top five things that I would say that guys do wrong is they don't touch enough. Number 27 is not pairing off. This is whenever you get to a group of people, a group of girls, and you're generating attraction, everything's going good, you're bantering, you're qualified, you are going into rapport, and everything seems fine, but instead of going off into another area of the bar, or instead of going to a place where you two can be alone in order to build rapport, you're just sitting there, staring at her in a group of people, and talking to her about something serious. This is a huge mistake. She will not go into rapport with you in front of a group of people. It just will not happen. It's a super, super rare instance if a girl does it. And if she does it, it's going to be a fluke on your end. It won't be something that you control. So you're screwing up regardless of whether or not she accepts it. So make sure you pair off. Make sure you sort of take her into another place and reframe your interaction with her so that you can go into a rapport. It's easy to reframe your interaction. You basically just go, let's go over here. You go to another spot and you go, anyway, what were you saying? That's it. And that's it. You've reframed the interaction. You've led her somewhere. You have isolated her from everybody else. You're in an environment where rapport is possible and easy to maintain and build, and no one's judging her if she decides to go into seduction with you in a minute. So that's really what you want to do for pairing off there. Number 28, being afraid to lead. This is, a few of these are, the rest of these are being afraid ofs or being afraid tos. So being afraid to lead, this is where most guys will shy away from saying, let's go over here, right? They, instead of going, let's go over here, they'll go, do you want to go over there? Like that. No. You go, let's go over here. You want to lead. You want to take a chance. Yes, if something goes terribly wrong on your way over, it's your fault, right? She wouldn't be walking there if it wasn't for you, right? So if you say, let's go over here, and you walk over, and then you walk into a pit with spikes in it, and you both get caught in the pit. Okay, yeah, you fucked up, dude. That's your responsibility, right? This is kind of like how we think. As men, we think, oh, if I say, let's go over here, and we go over there, and she has a bad time, she's not going to like me. So if it's her idea, she'll obviously go, oh, well, it was my idea to come over here in the first place, so this is really my fault. Nope, she won't do that. That's not what'll happen. She'll go, man, this guy's boring. She really will not take responsibility for that because it's not her responsibility. It's yours. You have to lead. You have to. And if you're afraid of it right now, just grow a pair and cut it out. You have to. I mean, there's no real soft way of saying this. There's only tough love when it comes to this. You have to lead as much as possible. If someone shows up who you think is a better leader than you, let them lead. If they don't show up, you fucking lead. You make decisions. Start doing this in your everyday life. Make these decisions. This is very, very important. I mean, it's not something you can overlook and then it'll be okay. It will not fix itself. You'll be a submissive pussy for the rest of your life if you don't do this. So you have to be comfortable leading. And if you're afraid to do it, you must do it. So definitely do it. Lead. Number 29 is being afraid of rejection. This one is natural. I totally understand if you're afraid of rejection because it's a scary thing to be rejected. At least I used to think that. I don't really think that anymore because I don't really care anymore. But I used to care a lot, and it was a scary thing to think about. Rejection is probably the least comfortable experience I've ever had in my life, and I've had lots of it. You know, the more I approached, the more rejection I had, too, because I didn't have an instructor, and B, it just happens. I mean, even the guys who get the best of the best, they get to be badass, really, really amazing. Even at my peak, when I was just running around getting laid left and right every day with a new girl and didn't even think twice about it, sometimes several girls at once, or I was polyamorous, whatever, you know. Even then, I had about 80% success rate when it came to approaching. About 20% of the time, I would still get rejected, even though I knew exactly what to do. I mean, I was really, really, really right on. Even before I know what I know now, I was really successful at it. And it's because I was following most of these rules and I got rid of most of that behavior. But what happens is being afraid of rejection causes you to hesitate. Hesitation causes you to come across as needy. Neediness kills attraction. Therefore, being afraid of rejection causes rejection. And that's really how it works. I know it's weird, but it's true. So if you're afraid of rejection, you will be rejected. If you're not afraid of rejection, you will get rejected much, much, much less. So keep that in mind. And the final one, this one's great. I have a friend who actually got a tattoo on his forearm in big, bold letters that says, "Pull the trigger" on his forearm. And that was because he had a really hard time getting the guts to go from talking to a girl to making out with her. And so he got that tattooed on his arm, like big, you know. And so this one is being afraid to escalate or pull the trigger. That's number 30. And what I mean by pull the trigger, of course, I kind of discussed it just a second ago, but really means that you don't go for it. You don't lean in for the kiss. You don't get her to become sexual with you. You don't flip it. There's a point in your interaction where you have to flip this switch on and become sexual. If you don't do it, you only have a small window of time before she begins to lose interest. And then she's not interested anymore. And if you try it then, she'll push you away. So you only have a small window of time. That window can be anywhere between 20 seconds, literally, to 20 minutes to sometimes 2-3 hours, whatever, you know, depending on the kind of girl. But if you don't make a move, usually it's around, you know, between 20 seconds and around 5 minutes. That's usually where it is. The average time is that. So if you see this, her eyes dilate, she's leaning her hips in toward you, she's triangulating, you know, as you're triangulating, she's triangulating too. She's looking at your mouth while you're talking, that kind of thing. You have to go in for a kiss. And you can use my script that I use that just like gets phenomenal success rate with it. I've only had a couple of girls not kiss me after I said this. But you can say, "It's okay." When she's looking at your mouth, you can say, "It's okay." And she'll say, "What's okay? What do you mean?" And you say, "You can kiss me. I want to kiss you too. It's okay. You can kiss me. I want to kiss you too." So remember that. If you don't remember what to say, say that and it will work. It will work, man. It's like classic. It's so funny. I get emails and comments from this all the time from guys who are like, "Holy crap. I tried that thing out. It is amazing." Like that and how to walk and negative body language and touch. Those four things freak guys out when they realize how much of an important role they play in attraction. Specifically walk. Walk is major. If you don't know how to walk in the proper way, then you can look at a video that I shot and I put it in the bonus tab in the Dow Badass members area. You can check it out there. And I demonstrated in that video. So keep that in mind. And it's very, very important. It's probably one of the biggest, single things you can do that will increase your attraction overnight. Just instantly increase your attraction with women. So you'll double or triple the amount of women that are looking at you and that are attracted to you. So try that out. So, all right. That's that for now. And Brad, do you want to go ahead and start with some of these questions and we'll get on the ball with them?
All right. Got one from Phil. Phil says, looking at past pickups, I usually went back into attraction before going into seduction. Is this bad? But how come I still got the girls? I also did things like start with rapport and it still worked.
Okay. So let's talk about these two different things. First off, attraction and seduction are very, very, very similar. So if you went from rapport back to attraction, it's likely that what you're doing, honestly, is you're adding sexual tension to attraction, which is what rapport is. Rapport is just attraction plus sexual tension mixed together. And that's all that it is. So it seems very, very similar to attraction. But it's very likely that you are actually going, like I said, into seduction and it just felt like rapport, or like attraction, because that's what seduction feels like. I'm pretty sure that's what you were doing. If you did go back to attraction while you were in rapport, it would sound like this. Brad and I would be having a serious conversation about something. Brad, let's say that it was the last time that you got broken up with by a girl, right?
Right.
And you were telling me about your story, and it was hard for you. And then in the middle of the story, we have this thing, and I go, all right, man, whatever, you're joking around, you're a joker. You'd be like, what? That's going back into attraction, right? That's what that looks like. But going into seduction would be like, you know, I don't look at you like that. I think that you're sassy little minx. You know, that's different. That's giving your positive reinforcement while you're stepping into sexuality and playfulness. That is seduction. That's what it is. It's very similar to attraction, though. So that's probably why you thought that. The second thing, Phil, and by the way, Brad, if you're wondering, Brad is a minx. He's a sassy little minx.
Right.
That's what we call each other. I call him sassy little minx all the time. I think so. Just kidding. I don't really do that. I think he'd probably punch me if I did that.
Not enough.
You wouldn't punch me enough, is that?
No, you don't call me a sexy little minx enough.
Oh, right. Okay, good. So, well, then that's perfect. That's just enough then. So, so you said you also did stuff like start with rapport. That's because you already had attraction handled before you walked up and you didn't realize it. This is, a lot of guys think this too. This is another really common thing that I thought too in the beginning. This is one of the reasons why I had to realize what the actual stages of attraction are. So if you walk up and you start in rapport and it works, then what you're doing is you actually had attraction from whatever your interactions were before that when they saw you, and then, or they assumed that you had them. So one way or another, they thought that you were of high value before you walked up. And then they saw you walk up, you started talking, and they were eager to talk to you about it. Usually women who have low self-esteem, again, not like the cream of the crop women will kind of do this. They'll have a positive response whenever you go straight into rapport. Or if it's daytime, you can actually go into rapport a little bit faster, but you still want to be playful while you do it as well. It can backfire otherwise. So anyway, that's that one. I got another question.
You know,
what's that? Good.
I think we lost our webcast guys.
Oh, really?
So the event is technically over since we've gone over so long.
Oh, can we add time?
I don't know how to do that.
Da-da-da-da-da. We love technical things like this. Recordings. webcast. See. I'm sure we can add more time to this thing. I'm sure, but I saw a button once that said add 30 minutes to your call or whatever.
I think that button is gone now.
Oh, well, that's fantastic. Right whenever we need it, it's gone. Okay, well, everyone else is on here. We'll send them the stuff later on if they're listening on the web.
Cool.
That's a bummer because all these questions that we're answering were from people on the web.
Yeah.
One of the questions was if you miss parts of the audio, can you get them later? We are recording this, so you'll be able to get this recording a little bit later on, as soon as it's done being edited and uploaded. Okay. So here I got an email here from someone who was online. I'll send it to you, Brad. He was asking about the Black Ops boot camp in Miami. And he wanted to know what the dates were in May. That's May, what is that, 19th? What is it?
Yeah, that weekend.
The weekend of the 19th. So I guess that'd be 18th, 19th, and 20th is that boot camp in May. Let me just do this. Miami. So I remember this. I keep having to like write this in my calendar. Okay, so Miami Black Ops boot camp is then. And if you want to be a part of that, that's filling up really fast, so make sure that you jump on board for that. Especially if you're in the area, the Miami area or in Florida at all, or in the Southeast whatsoever, because we don't do many Southeast courses. So definitely join on that. Brad, I sent you his email so you can give him information on that and let him know something happened to the call.
Cool.
I'll kind of blow through the rest of these then. Victor, again, says, if you meet a girl and you go through rapport twice, how often is too often to make plans if you're into longer game? So if you meet a girl and you go through rapport twice, okay. If you're into a longer, you know what? Don't worry about that. That's totally not something you need to worry about, Victor. This is if you're trying a long game, then you typically want to build rapport and then kind of leave on a lighthearted, a little bit more lighthearted note and wrap a bow around it, and then pick back up on attraction next time you communicate with her, be it cell phone or whatever, texting, especially if it's the next day or several hours after that. If it's right afterwards, you can pick up where you left off, but you don't typically want to do that. So if you're in the middle of like deep rapport with some girl and it's a longer game you're trying to build with her, make sure you have a lot of attraction. If you keep doing rapport, you'll basically shut off all your attraction and it won't work for you. So you got to make sure you keep doing that. It's not a matter of it being too often or too infrequent when it comes to rapport. It's a matter of balancing it with attraction so that you make sure you hit. You're not kind of going backward through the map of interaction here and falling into the friend zone. And the final question is, how do I know if I'm doing too much attraction material? So this is the exact opposite question. You'll know you're doing too much attraction material because it starts to get harder all of a sudden to get her attention, to keep her attention. And you feel like you need to kind of dance around and do something because you're losing her, right? So if you're doing that and you start to lose her, that's because you already crossed over the threshold you went too far. You screwed it up, basically. You're screwing it up worse by continuing. So you really need to stop, back off a little bit, build more attraction later on, and then go into rapport with her and let it kind of reset. If another way to tell ahead of time, though, so you're not kind of freaking out, is if you are talking to a girl and you qualify her and she goes with you, you're no longer in attraction, right? She qualifies herself. She tries to brag, like I was talking about earlier, something you never want to do. But if she does that for herself, or if you say, you know, you ask her that the questions qualify or use one of those things on her, which really works very well, then and you see her kind of follow you down that path, then you can go into rapport. So if you keep doing attraction after that, you're probably fucking it up. What most guys do is they never qualify in the first place. They start building attraction, they start bantering, they start building, demonstrating high value, and then they never qualify, and they never go into rapport, they never continue to the end. You know, that's just where it goes. So you don't want to do that, of course. Make sure you qualify, because that's probably what kind of problem you're going to have, typically speaking. Looks like we got another question here from, I think it might be Trent. Trent, are you there? Oh, I didn't unmute him here. I just clicked his hand. Let's see. You there?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, man, how are you?
Pretty good. Hey, are there going to be more of those Black Ops events down in like South County or LA?
Yeah, we have some coming up. You'll hear a lot more about them. As soon as you see that they're available, though, jump on them because we fill them up really fast. I don't do a whole lot of them, you know, so people are kind of like begging me to do them, I guess. Not because I'm awesome.
Of course.
Because I don't do much. So,
that'd be the only reason.
Yeah. It's not because I'm awesome. Write that down.
Oh no.
All right. So, there'll be one up here. I think that we're doing one in this area, somewhere around LA or San Diego area in the next, several months. So, it might be a good time to start talking to, opening a dialogue with Brad about that. Brad, again, if you have his email, then just remind him that you need to get on the phone and talk. Either Brad will call you or one of our friends, Jay or Brett or some of the other founding members that are in the founding members club, that know a little bit more about it.
Mm-hmm.
They may be calling you too and just telling you a little more information so you can get it. So, But yeah, so you'll be able to jump on board though if you find out early enough and you apply. And if you can't get in, then there's always one somewhere nearby going on. We should start doing them about twice a month though, because I'm fine. I
Oh,
found my
really?
yeah, I found not in here. I'll be doing all over the world, but I found my my first student that I ever taught to be a coach. He was just hanging out and he wasn't teaching anymore. And I was like, dude, what are you doing? Like, you're wasting your life. You need to come teach because he's phenomenal. He's one of the best coaches I've ever seen. And so he's joining the team again, and we're building up the coaching division again. So should be a lot more coaching opportunities. But again, if you want to be with me coaching, you're gonna need to get on whatever the next one is that's nearby. You want to jump on, because if you don't jump on it, then I won't be doing much more after that. So keep
All
that in
right,
mind.
man. I'll be all over that like a freaking hobo in a bologna sandwich.
Well, good. I'm gonna write that down. I just need to remember that one. So, cool, man. All
Right
right. Thanks, Trent. Appreciate it.
Yeah, have a good night.
You too. All right, guys. Well, that's it for that was our last Founding Members Club call. That was our the final of our entire series. We've been going on this for several months. Brad, do you know how long we've been doing this?
I believe we started, what was it, in July or August? I don't
Probably
know.
July, actually.
About 8 or 9 months.
Yeah, so probably yeah, I'd say it's 8, we did 3 a month. So there's several calls backlog that you can get. You will have access to these calls forever. We may decide to do more in the future, but you will not get charged. We're going to be taking off all of the payments. So after the end of this month, if you are a founding member, you will not have to pay for it anymore. We're not accepting applications anymore for founding members. Nobody else can join. It's just you guys, and it was only going as long as we were doing these live calls, and that's it. We have over 11,000 members now in the members area, and they're only people. Those are only people who've gotten the Tao of Badass and have used the system, or have gotten How to Date Multiple Women, which is my new system that I just came out with recently, and only those guys are allowed in. So, it's silly for me to keep a founding members option open, because you guys are my founding members, and that's it. So, the buck stops here, and I'm really stoked that you guys are part of this. I want to see all you guys in boot camps, in Black Ops boot camps, especially if you can get one of those, because those are advanced trainings. And really stoked about it. And that'll be the next evolution of this. You'll see a lot of that coming up, and a lot of opportunities to get on the phone with people to talk about the coaching and learn more and everything. And yeah, I'm just super stoked to be a part of this. And thank you guys very much for everything, all the questions and all the support and everything during this process. And keep an eye out, because we got a few things coming up that are major. They're major big things. And I just released, like I said, I just released How to Date Multiple Women, and I got a couple other products in the back end there too. Like I've got Bedroom Rockstar, which is all about how to basically give a woman unbelievable orgasm or an unbelievable experience in bed. And I interviewed a lot of experts for that. It was really, really brilliant experts. And then I've got several other programs too coming up that are going to really be game changing. So pay attention to your email, and that's how I'll be communicating with you now. Every once in a while, I may call a Founding Members Club meeting and then just talk about whatever. Talk about, get your opinion on things, tell you what direction I'm headed, and ask if there's some way we can work together and make this better, make this movement happen at a larger scale, things like that. And just it'll be more about how we can push things forward as a group, and get more people in the door, and also help spread the word on this and get this information out there. I know that for me, the biggest reward for me so far has been really finding you guys who are really committed, and being able to connect with you. So we will be doing that. It's a possibility that we may open up a new section of the members area that's private and only for founding members, and then VIP members who will have to buy their way in. So if we do open that up, founding members will get instant access to that, and it'll be coaches only, and then founding members and a few other people. And we'll be talking about stuff that we're dealing with in our personal lives. I mean, you'll hear about, if I get on and I post something, it'll be about what I'm dealing with in my relationship and how I overcome it. I'll be talking about business stuff. I'll be talking about a lot of things, and I think that really will be the next evolution for most of us men on these calls. So again, thank you very much. It's my pleasure, my honor to be here and to be able to usher you guys in like this. And I'll keep growing, and I want you to as well. Let's keep rocking this out. If we do have more calls, they'll be in your inbox, so check them out. And until then, take care, and I'll see you in a live event. All right, brother. Have a good one.